Welcome to Life-Giving Water Messages, where I expound upon the Word of God and through the internet, deliver it to you. Today's message is part two of a four-part series entitled Miracles Everywhere, and today's message is specifically called What Miracle? It is based on John chapter 11, verses 1 through 44. Let us dive into the Word today. A man named Lazarus was sick. He lived in Bethany with his sisters, Mary and Martha. This is the Mary who later poured the expensive perfume on the Lord's feet and wiped them with her hair. Her brother, Lazarus, was sick. So the two sisters sent a message to Jesus telling him, "Lord, your dear friend is very sick." But when Jesus heard about it, he said, "Lazarus's sickness will not end in death. No, it happened for the glory of God, so that the Son of God will receive glory from this." So, although Jesus loved Martha, Mary, and Lazarus, he stayed where he was for the next 2 days. Finally, he said to his disciples, "Let's go back to Judea." But his disciples objected. "Rabbi," they said, "only a few days ago the people in Judea were trying to stone you. Are you going there again?" Jesus replied, "There are 12 hours of daylight every day. During the day, people can walk safely. They can see because they have the light of this world. But at night, there is danger of stumbling because they have no light." Then he said, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but now I will go and wake him up." The disciples said, "Lord, if he is sleeping, he will soon get better." They thought Jesus meant Lazarus was simply sleeping, but Jesus meant Lazarus had died. So he plainly told them, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sakes, I'm glad I wasn't there, for now you will really believe. Come, let's go see him." Thomas, nicknamed the Twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let's go too and die with Jesus." When Jesus arrived in Bethany, he was told that Lazarus had already been in his grave for 4 days. Bethany was only a few miles down the road from Jerusalem, and many of the people had come to console Martha and Mary in their loss. When Martha got word that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary stayed in the house. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if only you had been there. If only you had been there, my brother would not have died, but even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus told her, "Your brother will rise again." "Yes," Martha said, "he will rise when everyone else rises at that last day." Jesus told her, "I am the resurrection and the life. Anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this, Martha?" "Yes, Lord," she told him. "I have always believed that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one who has come into the world from God." Then she returned to Mary. She called Mary aside from the mourners and told her, "The teacher is here and wants to see you." So Mary immediately went to him. Jesus had stayed outside the village at the place where Martha met him. When the people who were at the house consoling Mary saw her leave so hastily, they assumed she was going to Lazarus's grave to weep. So they followed her there. When Mary arrived and saw Jesus, she fell at his feet and said, "Lord, if only you had been here, my brother would not have died." When Jesus saw her weeping and saw the other people wailing with her, a deep anger welled up within him, and he was deeply troubled. "Where have you put him?" he asked them. They told him, "Lord, come and see." Then Jesus wept. The people who were standing nearby said, "See how much he loved him?" But some said, "This man healed a blind man. Couldn't he have kept Lazarus from dying?" Jesus was still angry as he arrived at the tomb. A cave with a stone rolled across its entrance. "Roll the stone aside," Jesus told them. But Martha, the dead man's sister, protested, "Lord, he has been dead for 4 days. The smell will be terrible." Jesus responded, Didn't I tell you that you would see God's glory if you believe? So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me. But I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so that they will believe you sent me. Then Jesus shouted, Lazarus, come out. And the dead man came out, his hands and feet bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in a head cloth. Jesus told them, unwrap him and let him go. Amen. Teenage years are hard, are they not? Some of us remember being teenagers. Others of us may have forgotten we ever were. But teenage years are hard. At least they were for me. Now, I grew up in a solid Christian household, regularly attended church as a child in Sunday school and as a teenager, read my Bible diligently and faithfully, was longing to learn from it, and I experienced my calling at a young age. Throughout all of my schooling, though, I was bullied terribly and had very few friends. But in high school, as a teenager, it got even worse. I couldn't understand why God would allow it at all. And as a result, I became isolated, withdrawn, confused, and even angry. You know, teenage angst. My self-esteem had been all but destroyed. And it took me years to build any sort of self-esteem up. And no matter how much I prayed to God, there seemed to be no answer. Have you ever experienced a time when you prayed for a miracle and God seemingly just didn't show up? Have you ever been assured by people that God is working miracles in your life, if you'd only believe? And been left wondering, what miracle? Even if you haven't experienced that, let's look at the people who suffered under hurricanes the last several years, such as Katrina, Superstorm Sandy, Harvey, Maria, Florence, and Michael. During those times, people were praying for miracles, right? Praying that themselves and other folks would come through safely. Still, there were deaths, loss of power, loss of homes and property, and so much more. In our world, there are tons of circumstances where it seems like God just never shows up and never hears our prayers or wipes away our tears. Think about the recent immigration situation. Where was God as children were being ripped away from their families unnecessarily, inhumanely? What miracle, God? Where's the miracle? Today, I would like to share with you a biblical truth. Miracles do not happen in our way or in our time, but miracles do happen. The Bible doesn't promise us that things will go smoothly, that life will be easy, that we'll never suffer trials or tribulation, that we will skate smoothly, unscathed throughout life. The Bible never promises us any of those things. In fact, quite the opposite. But the Bible promises us consistently throughout it that God is present with us. Always. God never leaves us or abandons us or detaches from us. In our scripture today, it reminds us of this truth. were reminded of this truth. The women prayed that Jesus would save their brother from death, that he would show up in the moment. And when he didn't, they asked, "Where the heck were you? Why weren't you here?" Now, Jesus' response was basically, "I am here, Martha and Mary. I have always been here. I am the resurrection and the life. Believe, and you will see miracles." Jesus opened their eyes to his presence with them. And he brought them together in community to participate in the miracle. And that is key, brothers and sisters. We have to trust in God. Even when it seems like there are no miracles around us. Little did I know when I was a teenager that all of the things that I was going through would one day place a passion in me and equip me to reach youth who are going through the same exact things. What a miracle. Now, God didn't put me through those situations. We live in a broken world filled with sinful people, and it's the sinful people in this broken world that caused my circumstances to be what they were. But God was with me through it, and God worked through me and carried me through it. And on the other side of things, God's work was being done in a way that was helping others going through similar things that I was going through. What a miracle. We have to trust that God is present with us at all times, that God celebrates with us and God grieves with us, that God even carries us in our dark days, even when we don't realize it. God may grieve with us, but God does not just leave us grieving. Amen? What a miracle. Friends, when a miracle doesn't happen, it simply means God ain't done yet. What's more, miracles are never isolated events. Never. But they happen in the context of community. In our scripture, the community gathered around the tomb to pray. They rolled away the stone. They unbound Lazarus from his shroud. Community participated in the miracles. Amen? And look at the miracles that are done around you. In my conference, the Greater New Jersey Conference, the United Methodist Church, we have participated in what we called a Future of Hope. And there were many miracles that came through A Future with Hope, which raised $17 million and rebuilt over 250 houses in the wake of Hurricane Sandy. Miracles can and will happen here and where you are and in any place Christ's followers are. If we come together as a community and participate in what God is doing, we can and will grow from a church building with people in it. You can and will grow from a church building with people in it to a community of hope. And we will all be, I will, my congregation will, you will, your congregations will, we will all be amazed at the miracles God works around us and through us. Amen? Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, you've called us into community with one another. You've called us to be your people in community. And in community, Lord, that's where we see miracles happening. When all of our gifts are put together for the good of your kingdom, that's when we see the miracles. And miracles, Lord, don't happen for us to be wowed. They happen for us to be transformed so that we may become an even closer and deeper follower than we were previously. Lord, use us as your miracles in our communities, so that we may grow from where we are to where you have called us to be, from who we are to who you created us to be. We thank you and praise you for your faithfulness, and thank you for your patience with us as we grow in our faithfulness. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. And so I'd like to thank you for tuning in today to this message. This is, again, part two of a four-part series called Miracles Everywhere. Today's message was entitled, What Miracle? And so I'd like to invite you to tune in next week to the next part of this message series. So also I'd like to invite you to check out the notes on our podcast. You can check out the message notes, and there you'll find links to this podcast's website. Of course, you'll find links to my bi-weekly devotional, LifeGivingWater. Devo.org. You'll also find a link to the Party on John cast, which is a podcast that myself and Reverend Sal Sermarco co-host, and that is a lot of fun and a wonderful podcast to listen to. Check out the latest one, which is on Halloween. Great discussion on the history of Halloween and Christianity. So, but remember, friends, you have been incredibly blessed. And that is a miracle. So be blessed and be a blessing to others. Go in peace.